Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, we're going to the mailbag, and the first piece of mail I've got from a young lady is interesting. It is a quote by Robert Kiyosaki. It starts out, I'm 78 years old, and here are seven things I wish somebody would have told me when I was 25 years old. Now that I'm 78, I know them. He didn't say all that. He said, here's 25 things. So there's this 25 things. But before we go into the 25 things, I realized that this guy's only been known for 30 years, and he wrote his first book about 30 years ago. And then I started thinking about it. Just because I'm 70 years old, that doesn't mean all you guys are 70 years old. Many of you are picking up on wealth creation at the same age I did. I started looking into wealth creation around age 27, 28 years of age. And by the time I was 34, I had retired. But I had looked at many different things, tried some different things, and found real estate to be the most effective for myself. What's interesting is that once I retired, and I started helping people try to accomplish the same goals I did simply because, one, I had nothing to do, and two, people asked me to. They said, hey, how did you retire at 34? Can you show me how to do that? And so I started helping people, hence Lifestyles Unlimited, 36 years later, is still around. But one of the things that's interesting is that during all this time, I was talking about this thing called Life of Quiet Desperation. It's a concept that I heard way back from David Thoreau back in the book Walden. And it basically said this, to live a life of quiet desperation is to exist in a state where one's outward life appears stable and even successful, but inwardly there's a profound sense of emptiness, unfulfillment, and resignation. So that basic concept is what I'd been preaching and teaching for years. And then along comes Robert Kiyosaki. This was, I started September of 1990. His book came out in 97, so that's 7 years later. But his book was profound, not because the information in it was profound. It was profound because it was a simplistic way to understand why you would do what I'm teaching you to do. And I think that's important because there has to be a why. And Tony Robbins says, if there's enough why, how is easy. You have to have enough why. And so he brought up the first why. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. His book, which was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, came out in 1997. Basic concept is personal finance book that can contrast the financial lessons from a poor dad, his poor dad, and a rich dad, his friend's dad. Father, to teach readers about financial literacy, building wealth, and the difference between working for money and having money work for you. Published in 1997, it argues that the rich teach their kids to acquire assets like real estate and businesses, while the poor and middle class teach their kids to go to school, get an education, and a job with a salary. That's the whole basis. I mean, it's pretty much the whole basis of the Robert Kiyosaki concept, is that people out there were taught the wrong thing. They really were. They're taught how to be employees. That is the basic concept behind this. So now we can get to the thing she sent to me, which we'll peruse through here and cover. It says, basically, if you are 40, read this right now. Number one, your school lied to you. Wow. 12 years, thousands of hours, not one class on how money works. The system wasn't designed to produce investors. It was designed to produce obedient employees who need a paycheck. My poor dad trusted the school. He got his degrees. He died worrying about money. My rich dad asked different questions. He built assets. He died wealthy. two educations. One produces employees, the other produces investors. School only teaches one. I don't think anybody can argue with that. I remember coming out of school, and I had taken accounting for like 8 years from in high school and in college and whatever. So I was going to be an accountant, math, business major was what I was all about. But do you know, they never taught people how to even balance their checkbooks. They had no idea what credit cards were and how to use them and what they could do to you if you did it wrong. I mean, it's just amazing. I remember literally talking to a lady one time, and she goes, she was bouncing checks. She goes, I don't understand why I'm bouncing checks. I said, well, why do you say that? She goes, there's got to be money in there. There's still checks in the checkbook. I mean, come on. That sounds like a joke, but that literally happened. Somebody told me that. They thought as long as there were checks in the checkbook, they could write checks. People have no idea about money. But that's at the top. That's at the very level of insanity and stupidity. What we're talking about is you're a smart person. You go to work. You went to school. You got educated. You learned how to do something. You learned a skill. And that skill allowed you to get a job. And that job allowed you to buy a cubicle for yourself. A cubicle where you could live the rest of your life in quiet desperation. Every single day, getting up, going to work, living through it, doing it over and over and over again. That's basically what it comes down to, right? That's basically what it all comes down to, is that you bought yourself a job. Your education bought you a job. And then what's funny is some people even think that I'll get more education. When the education and the job didn't solve the problem, you're still not wealthy enough. You're still not happy. You don't like where you're at in life. You're living that life of quiet desperation. You know what? More education. That's got to be the secret. I saw my son, my wife's son, son-in-law, whatever it is, said the same thing. He went and got a little education, got himself a little job. He got more education, got himself a little bit better job. And he's still living a life of quiet desperation. He's still miserable. It's just different. Where his sister went out and bought a house, went out and did something different, right? So when you look at these situations and you see that when you've been taught, and by the way, this young man was raised by his grandfather, and his grandfather was a highly educated person and believed that he had a job. He worked his entire life for the government, so he had government pension. When you believe that's the right thing to do, that's what you're going to do. That's all there is. That's all you can see, right, is that. So education fails people. That's the first thing you're saying here. I wish someone would have told me when I was young that education had failed me, because it did. All right, number two, your paycheck is not your friend. Every month that check arrives and you relax. Your lifestyle grows to match it. Your debt grows to match it. Before you know it, you can't live without it. That is not freedom. That is a leash with direct deposit. This goal was never a bigger paycheck. The goal was never a bigger paycheck. The goal was to make the paycheck optional. Think of that. All of your life, you thought that the goal was the paycheck. And I talk about it in my two-day seminar a little bit. I say, you know, look, if you've been told that the paycheck is everything and that work creates the paycheck and then you go get a job, and there it is, the paycheck comes, you go, wow, it does work. It's confirmed. The paycheck's a secret. Then when you look at it a little further and you say, okay, why is it that I'm not happy? I've got the paycheck. I know. I need more money. I need bigger paycheck. So you work overtime. You pick up extra jobs. You do side jobs. All this to get you either a larger paycheck or additional paychecks. And at the end of all that, you're just more stressed out. All right, moving on. So we're on item number three right now. And it states, bad debt keeps you poor. Good debt makes you rich. Stay out of debt. Save your money. That advice will keep you poor. Bad debt takes money out of your pocket. Good debt puts money in it. A loan on a rental property where the tenant pays your mortgage, that's good debt. The same tool, completely different outcomes. The difference is you buy it. The difference is what you buy with it. So here's what it basically comes down to. I don't think that's pretty good, a very good explanation of what he actually believes. What he's saying is that there's good debt and bad debt. Investors, rich people, they use debt to go buy income-producing assets, whereas poor people use debt to go buy liabilities. And a liability in his book is anything you have to pay out to, and an asset's anything that pays you. All right, now that's not an exact definition of asset and liability by accounting standards, but it is a very simplistic way to look at it, that if you go out there and you spend your money, your time, and your credit buying stuff that you consume and that disappears, that is going to make you poor. So in his mind, your personal residence is not an asset. It does not pay you any money. So to have debt on it means you're paying debt, you're losing money, interest to somebody else. Number two, to pay it in full doesn't do you any good, because in that particular case, you've got all this asset money sitting there doing nothing. It doesn't earn you anything. I ask people all the time, what did your house pay you last month? Didn't pay you anything. So his basic concept was things like your house, your car, those nice cars, those all the expensive jewelry, watches, and that's all waste. It's all going to make you poor. And people spend their money and their life and their energy trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to buy the stuff that makes you look rich instead of actually being rich. Now, interestingly enough, because I went through this whole thing, is that you will eventually get rich if you do it right. And then it will be a very small amount of your wealth to go buy jewelry for your wife or a nice home for your family or decent cars. I don't have extravagant, expensive cars. We have nice cars, but not extravagant cars. And the reality is that that stuff was just a scratch of your income once you get wealthy. But until you get wealthy, that's not where you should put your money. So Robert Kiyosaki is talking about there's good debt and bad debt. Now, here's the place where it gets really kind of crazy. And that is just debt itself. Since you only have so much money and you only have so much debt that you can use at any one time, if you use your debt incorrectly, it will hinder you. Dave Ramsey was doing a radio show one time, and Dave Ramsey hates debt completely. He said, no debt ever, anything, blah, blah, blah. And a guy got like $25,000 from his parents or something, grandparents died or something. And he asked Dave Ramsey, should I pay off my new pickup truck? And he says, of course you should. You need to get rid of that debt as quick as possible. Now, I was incensed by this, because the reality is, he's paying so much a month for this payment. The $25,000 could have for him been used to go buy a rent house. The rent house could have made the monthly positive cash flow, could have covered the truck payment. The equity capture on the house could have been anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 all at one time. You make that much money instantly because he bought something at such a great discount. The tenant would be paying down your mortgage. So the debt that you have on this rent house, the tenant would be paying that down. And since they're also paying you positive cash flow, they're paying down the debt on your truck. Now, when the truck is paid off and some years down the line when the truck is old and worn out, you're going to have to buy another truck. But see, if you own the rent house is going to pay you cash flow for the rest of your life. So there's a situation where paying off the debt, that's what he would call bad debt, didn't even make sense. Because you could have used the money to go build wealth, right? Now, not everybody has a skill set to do that, and that's why we started Lifestyles, so you can get in here and learn those skill sets to be able to build wealth with the money and not just waste it. But you have to understand that that's something he talks about. Number four, your 20s are not for playing it safe. The people who fail most at 25 are usually the ones who win the most in their 50s. When you're 25, failure is cheap. No mortgage, no kids, no legacy at risk. The window does not stay open forever. The biggest risk is taking no risk at all. Boy, that's an interesting one that's not even in his book. This is something that he's looking back at 78 years of age and talking about. And I know I made my first million by the time I was 35 years old. And he's right. Now, at the time, I did have a small condo that I owned, which had about a $400 a month payment, which was probably no more than what an apartment would cost. Maybe $100 more than an apartment. I had a cheap car, so I had no cost. I wasn't married, didn't have kids. He's right. If you're going to save a lot of money, start young, right? But I'll tell you, starting young is the best time to start. The second best time to start is right now. You need to get going doing this stuff right away. But that was never in his book before. I guess that's the thing about being 78 years old. You've got some hindsight there that's pretty interesting. Because the other one is, and I'll tell you this, I'm 70 years old. And it's kind of funny because they made me start doing podcasts. They said that, you know, your radio show's good, but everybody now wants to see people. I go, I don't know what they want to see a 70-year-old guy for. I'm just an old dude. And when you're in your earlier years, you have this persona about you. You have this get up and go, this bite that I had. I was aggressive, man. I was out there. And I think that's an important thing. You got to get up and get going and build yourself some wealth while you have the energy. But not only that, and this is even more important, and that is I was able to enjoy life. When I retired at 34 years of age, by definition retired was, I quit my job. Never went back and had a W-2 job ever again. I own businesses, I own real estate. I've worked in and on my businesses. But I've never, ever, ever at that point gone back to work. And boy, I'll tell you what, doing that when you're young and having the rest of your life ahead of you to do whatever you want, when you want, with whomever you want, and have the money to do it was the blessing, the biggest blessing I could have ever had. So yeah, get started young. It's a great idea. Hope you don't wait till you're my age to figure that out, or his age at 78 to figure that out. Let's figure it out now. Get started while you're 20, you're 30, you're 40 years old. Get out there and get it going. Okay? We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working full-time but still falling behind? Learn how real estate education can help you build income and get ahead. On your terms, text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we are talking about an email that someone sent me about Robert Kiyosaki. Had this little quotes that he put out there that here are seven things he wished they would have told him by the time he was 25 years old. Now he's 78 years old and he's looking back on himself, saying, I wish I would have known this stuff. The number five was, a 401k is not investing. It is hoping. The fund collects fees whether your money grows or not. If the market crashes, you lose. They keep the fees. Real investing means building financial intelligence, not hoping that the stock market will work for you. I would take it one step even further and say that one of the biggest mistakes people make is that savings is not investing. And by the way, you need to save. You need to live on less than what you make. That's a reality. Then you try to build your wealth by increasing the amount you make. And as you increase the amount you make, you're able to save more. You save more, you can buy more. You can buy more, you can invest more. You can build it, and it becomes a vicious snowball that goes rolling downhill at some point where you get out of control and you're getting wealthier and wealthier all the time. The more money you make, the more you can save. The more you can save, the more money you can invest, the more you can invest, and so forth. But a lot of people just simply put their money in an account somewhere, 401k, an IRA, pay off their house. And saving is not investing. It's not growing. You need to grow your wealth exponentially. And to do that, the best way is to use leverage, which is a part of my seminar on how to safely use leverage. But you need to understand that just putting money in an account somewhere and leaving it isn't doing it. In fact, I used to tell people all the time, take the money in your wallet. Take it out of your wallet, put it in your front pocket. Okay? Now, take $1 and stick it in your left front pocket, and let's call that your rainy day fund. Take another dollar out and stick it in your left back pocket, and let's call that your savings account. Let's vacation account. Let's take another one, stick it in the right back pocket. Let's call it your 401k. Let's take another one, stick it in your shirt pocket. Let's call that your IRA. Now that we have all these pockets filled with these different savings accounts, different accounts, do we have any more money than we started with? The answer is no. Simply putting money into a different account and calling it a savings account does nothing for you. You might as well just keep it in your checking account if it's not going to earn anything. You've got to get your money earning something to do any good. Right? If you don't do that, then you're going to go nowhere. Number six. Let's see, do we do number five? We did. Number six. You will become who you spend time with. Most people take financial advice from people who are not financially free. Love and financial wisdom are not the same thing. My rich dad wasn't a blood relative. He was my friend's father. That one relative changed everything. So his story is his dad was an academic, University of Hawaii, was a professor, and he worked his whole life, got a pension, and always worried about money. He used to always tell Robert, we can't afford that. And the rich father, his friend's father, who was a businessman, an entrepreneur, used to always tell Robert, how can you, or ask him, how can we afford that? In other words, don't ask whether we can afford it. Ask how we can afford it. What do we need to do to make it so we can afford this, right? And I guess the point he's making here is that just because somebody loves you doesn't mean they know anything. Just because they're your doctor, they don't know anything. Your CPA doesn't know anything. And how do I know a CPA doesn't know anything? Because they're not invested. They're not rich. None of my CPAs are rich. They got jobs, right? Your attorney isn't rich unless he wants some giant case, right? Unless they invest, and so on and so forth. Your school teachers and professors are dumb as a rock when it comes to investing and finances. They're living off their pensions. They know they are. That's the whole deal. So if you're going to ever be in a position where you're going to be able to retire, you're going to have to take on a different approach to life. You're going to have to take on the approach that we're going to replace our earned income with passive streams of income. Now, here at Lifestyles, I'm teaching you what I learned. I learned how to do real estate. I did single-family houses. Then I did small duplexes and fourplexes. Then I moved on to small apartments. And then I moved on to medium-sized apartments. Then I moved on to large apartments. And I've taught people that for 36 years. And it's worked for 36 years. And what you need to understand, guys, especially if you're young, I see guys in the gym all the time. They go, oh, my God, how did you get so big? I said, I just exercised and worked out. But I see a lot of this now. I hear it almost every day in the gym. Somebody comes up to me and goes, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing so much sets and reps and so forth? And I go, that's not very efficient. I go, what do you mean efficient? Everybody out there now seems to think there's a scientific way to do everything, that you can get it done without work. And so I see guys in the gym all the time doing like three or four reps on each exercise. I've known two or three of these guys that they're calling their exercise the scientific approach to working out. And I've seen them for a year, year and a half. They look exactly the same as they were a year and a half ago. I really would like to go up to them and just say, do you have any idea what you're not doing, what you're not accomplishing? And the reality is that it's not how efficient what you're doing is. It's how effective what you're doing is. A single-family rent house may or may not be done efficiently. I'm going to teach you how to do it as efficiently as I can figure out how to do, and I've figured out, and we have figured out here at Lifestyle to do. We'll teach you how to do it as efficiently as possible. But the real beauty is it's effective, very effective. To go out and take $25,000, for say, as a down payment to buy a house that's worth $200,000, and you buy it for $100,000, and the bank lends you $150,000, so there's $50,000 lent to do the repairs. So you buy it for $100,000, you do $50,000 worth of repairs that the bank lends you the money to buy it and the repairs. You put down $25,000, they lend you the rest. And now you own it, it's worth $200,000. You got $150,000 bucks in it and it's worth $200,000. That's a $50,000 gain on a $25,000 investment. That's a 200% return. That may not be very efficient. Putting the money in the 401k and IRA may be easier, may be more efficient, but it's definitely not more effective. So you have to decide. Do you want to just be efficient in life? Want to be lazy? So, you know, Dell, I put the money in the 401k because they take it out for me every month. It just comes right out. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to do anything. It just comes out for me. And because of that, right, I like it. I also like it because my wife can't get to it. She doesn't even know we have the money. And I like to keep it away from her. And that's a good way to keep it away from her so she doesn't spend it, or vice versa. Wife, keep it away from the husband so he doesn't spend it. Whatever the reality is. But the point is that you have to get out there and invest. And efficiency is not always the answer. Effectiveness is the answer you should be looking for. Now, do we want to be as efficient as we can? Sure. We're not going to overwork. We're not going to do things the wrong way. And by the way, do people do real estate the wrong way? All the time. I see people mess it up. In fact, most people that join here at Lifestyles, they go, I've listened to you on the radio. I thought you were talking to me. I did it. Everything. I went to you 2 days after I was done. I go, everything you said not to do, I did. I did exactly the opposite of what you said to do. And that's pretty common. Very common in this situation for that to happen. Number seven, the most expensive thing in the world is waiting. A dollar invested at 25 has 40 years to work. The same dollar invested at 45 has 20 years to work. The same dollar, completely different outcome. Time is the one thing you cannot buy back. You know, it's pretty easy to say when you're 78 years old, Robert. Oh, no matter how true it is, I don't know if you young guys get it. Time flies by so fast. Here's an interesting point. When you're a year old and a month goes by, that's when, you know, first month, your entire life is only 30 days old. Second month of your life, you've just doubled your life expectancy. When you get to be a year old, your whole life existence is 1 year. To get to be two seems like forever. But when you get to be 30 or 40, and you're 40 years of age, you wake up and go, you know, life expectancy is somewhere around 70-something, maybe 80. You wake up at 40 and go, you know, I'm halfway or better. I'm either halfway or better than halfway. I better get going. That's what happens. You just wake up one day and go, I better get going. So you need to get in here. If you are not financially secure, if you're living in this society and you don't know if the next war is going to change your financial position, oil is going to get expensive and your gas is going to go up and you can't afford food. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people are really, at this point in their life, very, very, very scared about what's going on. I know I see it all the time. And they really don't know what to do because there's nobody out there teaching them how to overcome this by increasing their income with passive streams of income that will be safe, whatever, good times, bad times, or whatever, right? So this next one email I thought was very interesting. I'm just going to read to you. It says, while much of the national economic conversation has focused on Fed, MSRPs, and a more localized personal financial crisis is quietly unfolding, the American driveway, I guess it is a more localized financial crisis is unfolding in the American driveway, especially across Texas, where long commutes, suburban sprawl, and truck ownership are the norm. The financial strain on auto ownership is particularly acute. The liquidity trap of a fixed monthly car payment. With new data showing that relatively 70% of Americans identify as financially unhealthy. Let me read that to you again. That's why this caught my eye. With new data showing that nearly 70% of Americans identify as financially unhealthy, and one-third expect their situation to worsen this quarter, the traditional once-a-month payment model is increasingly out of their sync with the reality of a K-shaped economy. I don't know what a K-shaped economy is. For many Texans, a single $800 a month car payment landing on the start of the month can consume a significant portion of the take-home pay, especially when paired with high fuel usage, growing living costs in cities like Dallas, Houston, Austin. So here's what it comes down to, is that people can't afford car payments anymore. You know, it used to be when you went to rent, you had to have four times the income to rent. When the international income level started to change and people became more impoverished, we had to drop that down to three times, to where a person had earned three times what the rent was. In the mortgage, on a mortgage, if you went to get a mortgage from Fannie Mae, you had to make four times more, four times the mortgage payment to qualify. So always was four times. And then it went down to three for renting. And now it's down to two in renting in some situations. So what they're saying is that these giant payments, once a month payments, do not work in our society when people are getting paid biweekly or even weekly in many situations. And we saw that with our, I saw that with my tenants when I was younger, when I was actually had houses and small houses and young couples renting from me. It's very difficult for them to pay the rent for the house, the one big payment, all right at the beginning of the month, especially if the car payment landed then. So most of them had to figure out how to get the car payment to land on the second paycheck of the month. You know, it's just one of those situations where it's very difficult to pay both of those payments at the same time, at the same part of the month. So I thought it was very interesting here. But the point that 70% of Americans identify as financially unhealthy, one-third expecting the situation to become worse, is really kind of a strange issue for me. I just, it's scary. How can 70% of Americans feel that way? What is going on? What is the issue? Why is that happening? If you're feeling that way, you need to get in here and you need to take steps to improve that situation, right? You need to take steps to improve that situation. And to do that, you need to come to one of the 2 days. I've decided that I'm going to start teaching more 2 days again, because I don't think the people of this day and age actually have the pain awareness of what it is to be poor and what it is to want to be rich, and then later to be rich. That mental transition is something that I don't know that many people can actually get across. I've been teaching it forever. One of my best teachers, David, has retired again. He retired, you know, 10 years ago, and I got him to do classes for 10 years, just, you know, on one weekend a month, but now he doesn't even want to do that. And I understand. I mean, you know, he gave back. So I'm going to teach him, because he was good. Now, maybe I'll find somebody else who can teach him as well as I can. But, man, you've got to come in and hear myself. Since David is gone, you've got to come in and hear me, and you've got to say, hey, what is it can you teach me? Take me by the hand. Walk me through this. What is it like to be poor? What is it like to live life of quiet desperation? How do I overcome that? How do I retire? Right? These are the things I need to walk you through. That's what you need to come to the 2-day workshop for. And if you come in, I'll be able to take you by the hand and show you that stuff. So let's get you signed up. I want you to go right now. Text the word radio to 88007. Text the word radio to 88007. It's normally $740. We've had it on discount now for $297. You can get in for only $297, and that's a year's membership. And that means you can come to the 2 days as many times as you like. You need to get in here and learn this material. You really do. So that you can do it for yourself, so you can do it for your spouse, so you can do it for your kids. You know, a lot of people, they come in here and they learn this stuff, and it's so profound to them. They then become Pied Pipers of it. They send it to the rest of their family, their kids, their parents, their neighbors, their friends, their CPAs, you name it. Because once you find out how to be financially free, once you realize it's possible, and you see how easy it is to do, you're going to want to tell others about it. So let's get you in here. Text the word radio to 88007. Do it right now. Don't sit there. Don't procrastinate. Come on. Just do it. It won't hurt you. Even if you do it, they're not going to make you do it. All right. Remember this, though. It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.